My name's Heather Burke. I'm an Associate Professor of Archaeology at Flinders University in Adelaide, South Australia, and I teach archaeology and I'm a specialist in historical archaeology, which is the archaeology of the Australian colonial period, so European stuff in Australia.
Right. And today you've had a bit of an adventure?
Today I have had a fabulous time in New Norfolk. So I've been here for 2 days, nominally to look at Willow Court and the buildings and that as a site. But in fact, today I spent about an hour and a half down a drain in Burnett Street, trying to get to the mystery of whether or not there was a tunnel running between Willow Court and the river. And in fact, I can say there's definitely a brick structure running between Willow Court and the river, but it's more likely a sewer rather than a tunnel.
Okay.
Lovely word, sewer. Conjures up all sorts of aromatic and delightful things. And I can tell you it's about as delightful as that. I had fun, but I don't know that it's somewhere you would want to go for your holidays.
No. There was obviously a bit of preparation, so we probably should go through that. So before you went down, what were the things that you had to make sure?
Well, as archaeologists, we often find ourselves in very odd places and potentially quite dangerous places. So we have lots of OH&S requirements just for the normal work that we do on a day-to-day basis for risk assessment. But particularly when we go into small confined spaces, we actually have to have formal OH&S training and a certificate in confined spaces work. And that's for under floors, in ceilings, or in places like drains and sewers. So we have to be actually certified to go into those places. But to actually get there, we also have to be very careful in terms of access and how long we stay there. So today we were suited up in hard hats and with a harness because we were going down in one place probably about 8 metres and in the other place perhaps 4. And that may not sound a lot, but it's quite a steep hole when you're standing at the top looking down it. So rigged up in a harness with a ladder, hard hats, and also with a gas meter to test the quality of the air. So the gas meter will tell you if there's, you know, noxious gases in the surrounding atmosphere, but it will also tell you how much oxygen is in the surrounding air. So we knew when we were in one part of the tunnel there's 29% oxygen, which is okay, it's perfectly fine, but you don't want to stay down there for a long time. And certainly if the gas meter had gone off at all, we would have had to get out of there immediately. So, yeah.
What did you find down there? Besides the silt, what were things that made an archaeologist excited?
No, I like sewers. I'm actually quite happy with sewers. We're very strange people, archaeologists. We like toilets, cesspits and sewers because they tell us just as much about, you know, the daily needs of ordinary people in the past as houses or special, you know, purpose things. So I was perfectly happy to be down a sewer. So it may not sound exotic, but I was very excited. Partly because it's a beautiful structure. It's a very old structure. So I don't know exactly how old it is, but all the bricks are handmade, and there are convict broad arrows on the ends of the bricks, so they're clearly, I would say, contemporary with the main buildings and the wall at Willow Court. How old exactly that is, whether that's 1840s or earlier, I'm not sure, but we're certainly talking about an old structure, and that's always exciting as an archaeologist. You don't actually have to find anything in the structure for it to be exciting. It's just the fact that it was built, that it was so extensive, like that's a long drain going from Willow Court to the Derwent, and the fact that it's beautifully constructed. It's gorgeous. It's flat brick floor, straight sides, and a beautiful semicircular arched roof, and that's all brick, that's all handmade brick, and that's all hand-dug, hand-formed. Beautiful.
Now, you're being contacted and you've come down here and you've probably found a little bit more, especially with the site itself. So we've investigated and done a bit of preliminary work with the tunnel, but the rest of the buildings, yesterday we talked a little bit about this and you were quite excited.
Well, that's right. So I only spent an hour and a half down a drain today, but the rest of my time I've been at Willow Court in one way or another, or talking to people about Willow Court, trying to just understand enough about that site to see what sort of potential it has for archaeology. And of course, the short answer is that the potential is enormous, which is not particularly helpful in terms of direction. The site is incredibly complex. It's large now. It was even larger, obviously, in the past. But what we've got is an incredibly complex and densely overlaid set of uses of every space and every building, interior and exterior, on that site. And all of that has potential archaeological traces, whether that's in the, you know, the layers of paint on the walls, or the material that's under the floors, or the material that's under the ground, or the standing structure itself and all of its components, the sequence of its construction, and the changing story of its use across time. So all of that is interesting, potentially, and at this point I'm not exactly sure what we're going to focus on, so I need to work that out between now and next year.
Okay. So your intentions are to come back next year?
Yeah, so this is the beginning of a long-term project, I would say, because that site is so complex and special, very unique. So I don't know of any other site that's quite like it. Like, we have lots of other convict sites and we have lots of other old sites. And in a sense, every old site is complex because the longer it's been in existence, the more its use has changed, the more people who've gone through there, the more things that have happened there. But this is particularly complex because it is so early, and it had continuous use right through to the year 2000. So we're talking about a really long span of changing people, thoughts, ideas, attitudes, material culture, everything in that one place.
The process, where does it start? So how do you start a process, and how do you get to a conclusion? So can you sort of run through what you would do, so somebody who doesn't know?
Well, so yeah, this is the beginning of a long-term project, but I'm not sure where it will end up. That's the beauty of it. Because, like, I could see that you could work, not just me, many archaeologists, many students, many people could work on that site for decades. No problem. There's more than enough information there to keep any number of archaeologists in seventh heaven for years and years and years. So part of my problem in the next 12 months, certainly, is to work out what I would like to do at that site and how that would unfold across 10 years. And that's quite a big undertaking, really, because you don't want to be just doing something short-term here and something short-term there and something short-term there. You really want a long-term plan that everything fits into.
So you break it down into the different aspects. So,
but it all depends on what questions you want to ask, you see. So it all depends on what you want to know. And at this point, I don't know what I want to know. I just know that there is a lot of potential out there for almost any direction to take off. So in part, I think it will depend on what other people think is interesting or what other people want from that site. So what we want to achieve there, what we would like to do there in the long term and the short term. It might also depend on just generating really interesting research questions that are interesting to me as well as an archaeologist, because I think if you dug almost anywhere on that site, you would find something and it would be interesting and it would tell you a story. So it is a rare site in that it really has unlimited potential. I think it doesn't matter what you did, where you did it, there would be something that would come out of that that would tell you a story about that site. It's not the case of all sites. Like, I have to tell you that you can excavate a lot at sites and not find very much. I don't think that's true of this site. So at this point, it is all a bit vague in my head because I don't know where we're going. But I know that wherever we end up, it's going to be interesting.
So what are the mechanics of it? I mean, we watch Time Team.
So, do you mean the mechanics of archaeology or the mechanics of this project?
So this.
Well, GF is, yeah. Archaeology is recording all of the material traces of past people. That can be artifacts, that can be buildings, that can also be traces of things that aren't there anymore. So it can be traces of post holes or timber that's no longer there but has left a stain in the ground. And it can be things that you can't actually see until you excavate. Those things we usually access by things like geophysics. So geophysics is a means that doesn't disturb the ground, but lets us see below the ground to see if there's anything there. It's not perfect and it's not magic, so it won't always give you the answer that you need and it won't always be able to resolve the questions that you ask. But we use techniques like geophysics to see, for example, if there might be foundations in an area, or if there was disturbance of the soil, like digging or excavation for trenches in a place. You would still have to excavate to find it, and you might find that the results from the geophysics are completely opposite to what you expected. You might find something completely different. So in terms of the mechanics of archaeology, you can start at any point along that spectrum. Like, there's no set order for how you do things. So I think next year what we'll actually just do is start looking at the movable artefacts that are already associated with that site, because there are several collections of like movable objects that have come from that place, and just try and catalogue those and work out what we have. We'll do geophysics in some of the open areas to see where we think there were buildings, to see if we can find traces of those buildings. But in the end, we're going to have to excavate if we want to find more information or more data, or resolve any questions about the construction sequence of those buildings. So it's not an easy question to answer, because we don't always do it in a particular order, and you don't have to do all parts of that in order to collect evidence. So one thing you could do is just look at the building itself in forensic detail. So look at the walls, look at the timber, look at the joists, look at the ceiling, look at the stumps, look at the floorboards, look at every part of that, the shell, the framework, the decorative treatments, the paint, everything, the nails, and understand the sequence in which it was constructed. And that would actually be really useful, because we don't necessarily know that all those buildings, well, we know they weren't all constructed at the same time, but the ones that even do look like they were constructed in the same period may have been constructed in a sequence themselves. So I don't know where I'm going to start with that, but something will happen, I can tell
it's
you.
It's all a mystery.
Well, it is at this point to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you were going to do a dig in one particular area, say in one room, so we've got some places in the barracks in particular that haven't got floors and they're ideal, and they tend to lend themselves to something like that. A bit hard to get something in there to get the ground up.
No, because we do it by hand.
It's all by hand.
Easy to get people in there, yeah. Working by hand. I know on Time Team they use backhoes, but the problem with backhoes is they remove an entire bucket of dirt at the same time. What, as archaeologists, we really need is a much finer-grained resolution to the information we get out of it. So I really want to know where each object came from, and not just that it came from that area of the room or that bucket of dirt. I want to know exactly what layer and exactly to a centimetre precision where that artefact came from. So for us, we would go hand excavation at that site, because it's so complicated. If you think of a place that's had over 100 years, 160, whatever it is, 190 years of use, all of that contributing to the material signature you're finding under the ground, you have to be very careful in trying to separate out any of those different activities or different periods from each other. If you collect the data at too coarse a level, you've already collapsed all of that information. You can't separate it. So once you've collected it at that coarse level, you can't pull it out. So you really need to collect it at this incredibly fine forensic level to even try and say something about the complexity of use of that space. Otherwise, you've just got a whole lot of information from a room. You know it all came from that room. That doesn't help you to resolve more interesting questions about who, what, when, or how.
We do know from historical documents that there was a wooden structure there prior to...
We do.
Prior to that. Do we know the location of that, or is that going to be the exciting find?
Well, it's one of the questions. I don't know where that structure was. We don't know how much of that may have been built over. It's certainly resolving the sequence of construction of that site as a whole, so each individual part of it, each building, but then each part of the complex, would be one of the long-term goals, to try and understand how it was built across time. Yeah, I don't know where that building was. I don't know if we will find where that building was, but it's obviously, people are always interested in the oldest or the first or the earliest of anything. So I think inevitably we would want to know that, but whether we can actually find the answer to that, I don't know.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.